So as we keep talking about project managers being amateur psychologists, it is important to understand that personality type is one of the biggest foundations of where conflict comes in from. We have biological differences, we have spatial differences, we have cultural differences, demographic differences, a lot of those things coming in. But your personalities can lead to a serious clash among the Titans. So what are the typical types of personalities? You have your introverts and you have extroverts. Introverts are people who are a little inward looking, a little quiet, a little subtle. Extroverts are the outshiners, in the limelight, always want to be in the limelight, go-getters, very, very ambitious. So you have, these are some of the typical differences between introverts and extroverts. So the minute you bring an introvert and an extrovert together, it is bound to lead to conflict. Your introvert, which is your type B actually, are more of your easygoing kind of people. We're okay, we're content with so much, we are not that ambitious. So that is typically your type B would be introverts. And your type A, the very competitive, the very ambitious, the very need to be in the limelight, would typically be your extroverts or the very, very loud, visibly loud people. So you have, you could have various in-between balanced personalities, but by and large, you have your type A and type B, which is your competitive people and your easygoing people. Now, the minute you throw the two of them together, there is going to be conflict. So let's look at our example of A and B. Now let's pretend that type that B is your type A competitive person and A is your B easygoing person. Now A feels, why is he jumping up and down? It's Monday morning. He's asked me for the data. I'll send it to him by Wednesday evening. He still gets 2 days in the working week to work on it till Friday. Whereas B, the very competitive, I need to work on it and forward this and, you know, show my bosses that I can work very fast and I can deliver very fast, wants it by day end on Monday. What do you mean by wasting 3 days and giving it to me by day end on Wednesday? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're wasting. What for? I need it right away because I need to get on and I need to excel. So clearly, while there may not be any specific deadline for this data, there is a difference in perception purely coming out of the difference in personality types itself. So if you go to the project manager and he may even say that, okay, maybe this was not the key requirement, or yes, we need to work on it, but perhaps, you know, the deadline for this is 10 days down the line. Just the fact that there are different personalities and different perceptions of what stage things and pace things need to work at, you have a situation where conflict is coming in. So your typically your type A will try to dominate your type B. Your extroverts will typically try to overshadow and dominate your introverts. Now your introverts will also typically be people who have challenges with communicating openly. So you have to understand that regardless of personality type, communication is something which cannot be compromised. So very often if your introvert is a person who's not communicating, then he will be creating a challenge for the project manager to actually understand what is the problem here, what is the definition of the conflict here. Another very, very typical conflict could be men and women conflict. A woman feels that she is more capable or as capable as the male members in her team, and the male members feel, no, no, give her the easygoing back office job. Don't really, you know, I don't think she'll be able to do this front office aggressive sales. And a woman may feel, no, but the back office job only gets me so much bonus, only gives me so much visibility and growth. I'm as capable of doing the front office job. How dare you as men slap this assumption on me? I'm as capable, I'm as ready to perform and deliver. So kindly put me in the front and I would like to be in the front office, do the sales. But there is a difference in terms of the genders. There is a different difference in terms of the perception of the capability levels between the men and women, and hence there is a huge conflict. Then there is an individual need conflict. There is a person who has to go back because he has an ailing mother who he takes care of after he goes back. he has his wife is also working, she has long hours, so he has to also look after the children. He cannot put in hours on the weekend, and yet you want him to sit long hours. You want him to have take a shift where he has to work weekends. You want him to work night shifts. Now, clearly there is an individual need disparity where his needs and requirements, which will make him satisfied and give him a good working environment, diverge from what your need is, where you need a resource of his capability to do your night shift or your weekend shift. So clearly there is going to be a conflict. So you have conflicts of various personality types, what people's perceptions are, what people's views are, and it can just lead to an infinite number of conflicts, infinite kinds of conflicts, which a project manager, any efficient project manager, needs to understand, needs to constantly keep listening to what the communication is happening. Yesterday when we spoke about management by walking around, then one of the important things about management by walking around was that communication was being picked up by the managers and chatter was being picked up, which was informal, genuine chatter. So a lot of times you will pick up on the dynamics and the differences in perception if you are informally circulating and walking around, rather than formally calling in people when they feel, oh, I'm under watch, I'm under guard, I'm under guard. So it is, you have to use the appropriate style, you have to use the appropriate technique, you have to keep your eyes and ears open, because communication may not come to you in a very straightforward way, but without communication you will not be able to get to the bottom of the issue. Now, some of the key reasons for interpersonal conflict, we have been constantly touching on them in various ways. I have been mentioning them. The first and foremost, poor communication. Till you convey your stand and your stance to your supervisor, to your project manager, how will he know? Till you convey your stand and your stance to your team persons with whom you're having a conflict, how will people get to the bottom? Till you are clear, instead of haphazardly saying, I have constraints, I have problems, laying down systematically what those issues are, being ready with your details in case someone genuinely wants to verify these issues. Unless you are doing this, how will these interpersonal issues get thrashed out? So communication is a huge, is one of the foundations of interpersonal conflict. Perceived difference, as we have been talking. Clearly, one thing is more important to you versus someone else. B considers this data by day end on Monday a lot more important than A considers it. So there is a perceived difference, and that perceived difference somewhere needs to have a midpoint, or there needs to be one person giving in, accepting the other person's stand. Otherwise, this is going to be an ongoing conflict. I feel that this process should be used. I feel that vendor X should be used, who's more cost effective. You feel vendor B should be used, who's really expensive. And I don't think he's giving a superior quality than X. So there's a perceived difference. Why do you feel that your vendor should be used? I don't think your perception that he is giving a better quality is something I agree with. So there is a perception difference which is happening. Of course, there are biological differences. People, as we already spoke, gender, age, communities you come from, backgrounds you come from. So there are capability differences, there are thought process differences. Someone has come from a very conservative background, someone has come from a very liberal background, which can lead to all sorts of differences in perception, which can lead to all sorts of different styles of communicating, different intensities of communicating, and can generally lead to conflict in a significant way. And then you have your spatial relationships. What are your spatial relationships? This word simply means space. So you are in geographically different locations. As we kept on discussing in the earlier modules, there are several occasions when you don't even reach out or ever meet your colleague over a period of years or months that your project lasts. You may meet him through a webcam video conference. For all you know, you may only be speaking to him on the phone, or even not on a phone. International call is expensive. You may just be emailing. So clearly the difference in space itself leads to a lack of bonding. As we were saying, some lack of bonding where extra effort needs to be made to create a collaborative and well bonded team. We already discussed yesterday that having a team at the same location is any day an advantage versus having a team that is spread out. But in today's global organizations, that is not possible. You will have a team that is spread out across time zones, across geographical locations, and there are advantages to it as well in terms of different skill sets coming in from various places where all skill sets cannot be present on the same location. So this aspect is going to continue to create differences in perception, differences in backgrounds, differences in understanding, personality types, all of that, what you are being exposed to. And all of these could be causes for interpersonal conflict, which a project manager needs to understand that his team is going to confront and his team is going to bring in. And there is nothing like, with more years of experience, these personality issues will not crop up, or with a certain skill set, these personality issues will not crop up, because human beings are human beings, regardless of skills, number of years of experience, etc., all of these things. So it would be interesting to see some of the approaches to conflict resolution. Of course, different people can adopt different styles, but these are some of the typical approaches that one has observed have been adopted across projects and across organizations. First is the confronting style of resolving conflict. Confronting is when the two feuding parties, or the two parties with a difference, actually come face to face, have direct and open communication, and thrash out their issues and try to reach a collaborative outcome. Now, this approach is typically used when there is sufficient time, because you can imagine thrashing out an issue, arriving at a solution which both parties find agreeable, both parties want to win, sharing, understanding can all take a fair amount of time. So time is typically sufficient in a situation like this. Stakes are moderate and everyone gets a win-win. That is your confronting situation. Then you have a compromising situation where both the parties give up something, give up a little bit, and reach a balanced agreement where neither party gets exactly what they want. Everyone gives up a little bit. So why do you approach a compromising style? Chances are that if you do not compromise a little bit or give up something, you may get nothing at all. Also, time may not be sufficient. So you need to arrive at a solution sooner than later. And your stakes may be fairly high. So you don't want to compromise on the overall, but you're willing to give up a little bit and reach a midway understanding with the other party. Next is smoothing. So smoothing is a very interesting way where you take the conflict, you underplay the conflict part of it, and you overplay the good. Oh, so the two of you have a difference of opinion on this, which is okay, not a big deal. Difference of opinion is a very normal thing, you know. I'm sure in the regular course we will manage to resolve it, so that's not a problem at all. But see, you know, the final delivery of it is going to be fantastic, because, you know, we will achieve this. So you have downplayed the conflict part of it, and you have overplayed the positives in this whole equation. So that is where a smoothing occurs, where you are not exactly giving in to anyone, you are not exactly compromising in a way, but you are downplaying the conflict itself. Then you have forcing, which, as the name suggests, is very dictatorial. One person dominates the other. Or the project manager decides, this is the solution. This is the solution, take it or leave it, accept it. Now, forcing is a very quick way of making a decision. No communication required over a period of time. No compromising required. We're not really indulging in smoothing and downplaying the conflict. We're just saying, this is the resolution, take it or leave it. So it's a very quick decision-making process. But it also leads to very low morale. Because to the party who is not satisfied with the resolution, there is really no way to express what you're feeling. There is no communication, there is a feeling of being wronged, and definitely there is a feeling of being stuck with something you disagree with strongly. So, and there is a feeling of not being heard. So clearly the morale can be quite low when it comes to a situation where you are forcing a resolution. And then, of course, you have an avoiding kind of situation where you pretend that the conflict doesn't exist. You don't really discuss it. You just wait it out. You believe that time is going to take care of it. You definitely feel that by delaying, okay, these two are having this issue, by next week this one is going to go on vacation, so the issue is not going to be there at all. So let me just wait till next week. So where you feel that your stakes are such that by waiting and pretending that this doesn't exist and letting it fly over, giving it some time, I will get a win situation at the end of it in any case. So that is your avoiding, where you are just choosing not to do anything about it. Now again, avoiding can give you an immediate win situation, but it can also lead to a lot of conflict being left unresolved and a lot of unhealthy issues which can hamper your eventual project outcome. So when anyone is adopting any of these styles, you need to keep in mind, what is the time that I have at hand? What are the personalities I'm dealing with? Are my stakes really high? Are my stakes really low? Are they moderate? How much can I give and take? What can I really adopt? So various factors go into these decisions in terms of what your dynamics at hand are. If you need an absolute immediate situation without which the stakes are very high and without which your project will collapse right away, then perhaps forcing, despite being a slightly negative technique, may in that immediate situation really salvage the situation. In the long term, it may not be the right approach, but in that immediate high stakes situation, it may really be a do or die situation where there is no choice but to have force down a resolution. So you have to see what is the situation that you are working with before adopting a typical style. Now, by and large, if you see, once conflict domains have been identified and conflict cases has been identified, typically employees will have high morale if you have used a style of conflict resolution which is either confronting, compromising, or smoothing. If you are using forcing or avoiding, then typically employees feel that this organization does not believe in fair judgment. Confront, comfort, smooth, we feel that you take our conflict seriously. You force or you avoid, that leads to low morale, leads to a sense of this organization not really being fair about how they judge conflict. So there are ways to analyze your conflict resolution. You have to see what is working, what your immediate situation is, what are the personality types you are dealing with, and you have to see what is it leading to in terms of morale, etc., and your long-term outcomes. And commitment of judgment differences is there. As I said, there is a judgment difference perception depending on which style you have used, and there are various kinds of negotiations which happen between conflicting parties, probably more when it comes to compromising and the confronting style of conflict resolution, and absolutely none when it comes to the forcing or the avoiding kind of conflict resolution. So you have to keep in mind all these dynamics of a conflict resolution and the approaches to conflict resolution. To summarize this chapter, conflict in project management is not necessarily unfavorable. As we saw earlier, as I mentioned, you may actually come up with healthy solutions and suggestions. Oh yes, that vendor has been overcharging us, and thanks for giving the solution where we use this other cost-efficient vendor who's giving an equally good quality. Or yes, that process was a little laborious and is a little outdated. And you know, yes, you are right, your point of view is right. And yes, we agree with you, and we will not use this earlier process and we will use this new process. So conflict can be healthy, it can lead to positive outcomes. However, when it is not managed effectively, it can lead to the degeneration of an organization. It can lead to an organization losing valuable resources, losing productivity and profitability, which at the end of the day, every stakeholder wants as much profitability as possible. And the challenge for managers is to maintain a right balance. You have to be amateur psychologists. You have to try and strike a balance. You have to use your instinct, intuitiveness. Managers also have to be coached and mentored from time to time. When I talk about coaching, keep in mind that coaching is different from training, in terms of coaching being more of one-on-one mentoring, where project managers probably will need that little bit of grooming to not just be autocratic and force down solutions, but to understand, get to the foundation of conflicts, understand the dynamics of conflicts, and then try to come up with the most appropriate resolution given their situation. So that brings us to the end of the chapter on conflict resolution and project management. Thank you.